Our scripture today is not very long. A couple of quick verses, but they are from the Gospel of Matthew, the 13th chapter, the 42nd through the 44th verses. Jesus loves to tell parables. So hear this, the word of God that is spoken to us. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid again. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. Upon finding a pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Just look at your bulletin cover for a moment. When Lynn, our secretary, showed me her suggestion for a bulletin cover, she was a bit apologetic. She said she'd look for something with a pearl, you know, or a treasure, but she couldn't really find anything that, you know, that really hit her. But she wondered about this picture. Somehow it just kind of grabbed her a little bit. And immediately I liked it because it reminded me of a special moment on our vacation, which was rather like finding a hidden treasure. We'd been in Scotland for 4 or 5 days, traveling around in a little rented car, driving on the wrong side of the road, and on little curvy, narrow lanes, seeing lots of castles and going up and down stairs in them, when we came to the Hermitage near Dunkeld, Scotland. We weren't quite sure what it was. We figured maybe it was another castle. And while we enjoyed all the castles we had seen, we were kind of tired by that point in the day and not too excited about, maybe going up and down more steps. But the brochure said that it was part of the National Trust and that with Ossian's Hall having been built in the 1700s. Well, it was right off the highway, so we decided to check it out. And it turned out to be a delightful nature walk similar to the bulletin cover there. It was even fairly level, you know, with very few steps, something that we rarely had on this vacation. When we came to Ossian Hall, it was a little building that you had to slide one door and then kind of push another door, you know, to go ahead and get in. Rather tricky. But look at what was behind those doors. All of a sudden, you were on a platform just right there over a waterfall. And they had done this back in the 1700s. A great view of a beautiful waterfall. Well, we stayed there for quite some time. It was a relaxing, renewing, refreshing, invigorating experience. It was like a hidden treasure. Not just a thing to see. Not just a place, a waterfall. But a gift. A joyous experience, a refreshing surprise on our journey. We were so glad that we had stopped. Today's scripture tells us about the joy and the preciousness of finding hidden treasure. It's two short parables, which follow directly on the two parables that Karen Poole preached on a couple of Sundays ago. She preached on the mustard seed and the yeast, and she called them two little parables about thin places. These parables about the kingdom of heaven are stories Jesus used to explain what the kingdom of heaven was like. Like a treasure hidden in a field. Like a pearl of great value. Now, I want to remind us that we need to remember that these parables are similes when interpreting the Bible. The kingdom of heaven is like. I mean, Jesus is pointing to what heaven is like. Sometimes we kind of take it, you know, with a simple literalism. But just think if you took this literally. So the kingdom of heaven is like a man who accidentally discovers a stash of money in some poor sap's field. I mean, he takes his shovel and he buries it again, you know, and covering it up and kind of putting brush over so nobody, you know, so it looks like it's untouched. And maybe he looks over his shoulder so that it makes sure that nobody's really watching him. And then he goes and sells everything that he owns so he can buy the land from the owner who has no idea of the hidden wealth that actually belongs to him. Now, let me ask you, Is this the kind of kingdom that you want to belong to? Not me. That, my friends, is not heavenly behavior. Seems like it's rather crooked behavior. So when Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like, you know that it's a figure of speech. Jesus isn't giving his approval or his disapproval to the man's behavior. He's using a common action in society to teach us about the uncommon kingdom of God. And this heaven Jesus is talking about is not like a rascal who deceives a landowner out of his money. Rather, Jesus is saying, heaven is worth whatever it takes us to get it. Whatever sacrifice we have to make. Whatever loss we have to endure. Whatever trade we have to make to bring heaven into our lives is worth the effort. It's worth it. Jesus wants us to catch a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven. Now, obviously, whatever this kingdom is that Jesus was talking about, it's of great value. I mean, in both instances, the treasures hidden in the field and the pearl of great price, the one willing to sell all that they have to go ahead and to obtain it. So let me ask you, can you think of anything in this world for which you would sell everything you own? Can you think of anything? It's been reported that in his race for the Republican nomination for president of our country, Mitt Romney spent more than $42 million of his own money. That's a lot of money. However, when he dropped out, he still had quite a bit of money left in his personal piggy bank. He didn't invest everything he owned in his failed attempt for the nomination. You know, I kind of wonder whether he regrets spending so much, or perhaps he regrets he didn't spend more. I don't know. But how about you? Is there anything in this world for which you would sell everything that you own? I can think of only one thing. The life of someone that we love. I mean, if one of our children was sick and there was a cure that would cost everything that we have, including our own life, I think many of us would be willing to give it all up for that cause. We might give everything we own for the well-being of someone we love, but that's about it. Nothing else that I can think of has that big a hold on us. Yet Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is worth everything we have. Our money, our time, our energy, our efforts, everything. Friends, that's quite a statement. Everything we own. The parable of the hidden treasure has a single-minded focus on what an exceeding value the kingdom is. The pearl has a similar message. Now, the discovery of the pearl is not simply a happy accident, which it seems like the case of the discovery of the treasure in the field. But the merchant is looking for precious stones in his daily business rounds, and he finds this one of fantastic value. And his response? That's the important part. His response tells us the meaning of Jesus' parable. The merchant sells everything that he has, he possesses, in order to possess that pearl. Wow. I like the ancient legend about the monk who found a precious stone, a real precious jewel. A short time later, the monk met a traveler who said he was hungry and asked the monk if he would share some of his provisions. Well, when the monk opened his bag, the traveler saw this precious stone. And on an impulse, he asked the monk for if he could have it. Amazingly, the monk gave the traveler the stone. Oh, the traveler departed quickly, overjoyed with his new possession. However, a few days later, he came back searching for the monk. He returned the stone to the monk and made a request. Please give me something more valuable, more precious than this stone. Please give me that which enabled you to give me this stone. A commitment of the whole heart. That's what the kingdom of heaven requires of its followers. The proclamation is clear. The kingdom of heaven is of overwhelming value. Are we willing to make that commitment demanded of the kingdom? So what is this kingdom of heaven as we think about it? Can we realize what a thing it really is in our lives? For some people, this means that getting into heaven when we die is worth everything that we possess. And certainly, we can interpret it that way. After all, when we go to heaven, the heaven that is beyond the grave, we leave everything else behind. So we might as well give everything we own to get there. However, doesn't this imply that entrance to heaven is something we can kind of purchase? Yeah, I mean, if not with dollars, at least with good works. Well, then what about the cross? Central to our faith is a belief that in terms of salvation, Christ paid it all. You can't buy your way to heaven, no matter how much you're willing to give. Eternal life is the gracious gift of God. Surely it would be worth everything we have, but Christ has already taken care of it on our behalf. Besides, if we had to buy our way into heaven with either wealth or good works, I suspect that we would discover what? That it's far too expensive for any of us. That we don't have enough wealth or good works to purchase a ticket through these particular gates. But friends, I don't think Jesus is simply talking about getting into heaven after we die. Jesus was speaking of a kingdom that was coming now and here to this world. There will come a time when God shall reign in every heart. This is the kingdom that Christ was heralding. It's a kingdom of this world as well as the world to come. Now, most people that I know believe that heaven is some kind of far distant place. When folks describe heaven, they generally think of some favorite spot, you know? Well, like what? Myrtle Beach? Or maybe Hawaii? Or maybe Scotland? Or maybe a cabin in Canada? I don't know. Our images of heaven tend to be some form of paradise where everything is beautiful and wonderful. But here in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus does not describe heaven as a place. He's rather speaking of the way in which it's an activity, of the way in which it comes across. Heaven is not a destination, but a part of our journey. For Jesus, heaven has to do with discovering treasure, selling everything that you have, and being caught up in a wholehearted commitment to God. Not a place, but a relationship, a process. For over 55 years, the bells of the churches in Czechoslovakia stood silent. The communist government forbade any kind of evangelism. No bells, only silence. No overt witnessing, only conformity to the communist line. Then something unexpected happened. November 1989. Some of you remember it? News came from Berlin that the wall dividing that city was being decimated. Soviet oppression was ending. A pastor in Prague, Czechoslovakia, Reverend Schneeberger, began ringing the church bell of his parish. The joyous sound of the church bells began to toll throughout the somber city of Prague. Reverend Schneeberger then erected outside his church the first evangelical message in 45 years, and it simply read, "The Lamb wins." The Lamb wins. I think when Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven, he wants us to know that one day a banner will fly over all the world. The Lamb wins. That's the kind of kingdom Jesus was proclaiming. There will come a time when God's kingdom will reign in every heart. There will come a time when all people will live in peace and harmony together. This is God's plan and purpose for God's world. It's where the kingdoms of this world are destined. God's sure victory over the forces of darkness and despair. And here's the good news for us today. We don't have to wait. God can reign in our hearts today. God's kingdom is wherever God reigns. Once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, or will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." God can reign in our hearts today. People who travel a great deal internationally often say that they set their watches to the destination time of where they're going as soon as they board the airplane. They start living in the time zone to which they are traveling. That's helpful to hear. I mean, all these time zones and, you know, jet lag and you're still adjusting to realize where you were going and what it meant. So it is with life in the kingdom. We look forward to that day when God reigns over this world, and we look forward to God's reign in heaven, and we set the clocks of our hearts with those eternal clocks. This allows us to have a feeling of inner security and well-being that the world cannot give. Reverend Lyle Arakaki, who lives in Hawaii, explained kingdom living like this. Because of the time difference between the continental United States, the National Football League Monday night football game is played in mid-afternoon, it would be in Hawaii. So the local TV station in Hawaii delays its telecast to 6:30 in the evening when the greatest audience is available to view the game. Arakaki says that when his favorite team plays, he's too excited to wait for television. So he'll listen to the game live on radio. Then, because it's his favorite team, he'll watch the game on television too. If he knows his team has won the game, he watches the game on TV with assurance. If his team fumbles the ball or throws an interception, it's not a problem. He thinks that's bad, but it's okay. In the end, we'll win. But that's how kingdom living works. There's assurance. We are secure in knowing that in the end, the Lamb wins. We can live our lives with assurance. Imagine with me, if you would, friends, that you have $1 billion in the bank. Now, I didn't say a million. I said a billion with a B. A few people in this world are fortunate enough to have a net worth of $1 billion or more. If you were among them, would you feel secure? Financially secure, perhaps, yeah. Would it guarantee your happiness? No, not. But truthfully, most of us feel it would be better than lying awake, you know, worrying about how we pay our bills sometimes. Would it ensure that your children would not get hooked on drugs or break your heart in some fashion? No, it would not. In fact, from studying the lives of the children of the super rich, you sometimes have to wonder if great wealth would not be somewhat of a curse when it comes to the effect on our children. Unfortunately, there is no real security in this world, no matter how rich or famous or powerful you are. Everything in this world is fleeting. All security is an illusion. But friends, how about this? Suppose I told you that none of it really matters. Suppose I told you that the creator of everything that is and was and will be is on your side, and ultimately, everything that really matters will be taken care of. Wishful thinking? No? No? That's the content of our Christian faith. That's the heart of one who cares for us. You can trust your children to God. You can trust your spouse to God. You can trust your own well-being to God. This isn't to say that any of us will not have some kind of a disease or end up as a casualty even in an accident. Life happens. Tragedy happens. But it is to say that we will never be out of God's care. God's presence can be a precious treasure. When we understand that the precious treasure is not a thing to be had, When we understand it's not a place or a destination, but an experience of the journey in which God's presence and companionship give us peace, then we'll begin to understand these parables. We want God to reign in our hearts more than anything else in the world. In closing, let me tell you the story behind our last song. It was written by Tommy Dorsey. He was a great band leader way back in the 1930s and 40s. Dorsey started out as a gospel singer. And he and his wife, Nettie, lived on the south side of Chicago. And they were expecting their first child. But Dorsey had an appointment, thing that he was to sing for down in St. Louis. So as he was leaving and heading off, he realized that he'd forgotten his music case. So he went back and, you know, grabbed his music case. And Nettie was sleeping so peacefully, but there was something just urging him to stay. But eager to get on his way, he shrugged off that feeling and left. So the next night, the crowd was asking him to sing again and again and again. And when he finally sat down, a messenger ran up with a Western Union telegram with the message, "Your wife just died in childbirth. She had given birth to a baby boy." Dorsey was caught between grief and pain and joy at the same time. But by the time that he got home, the baby had died as well. And he buried them together in the same casket. For a long time, Tommy Dorsey just kind of shut himself off. He just felt as though God had done him an injustice. He was just ready to sing the blues instead of be able to do anything in terms of gospel. But they were good friends, and they kept trying to care about him and reach out to him. One of them invited him to a music hall, to a college that was near there, as a neighborhood music school. And Tommy said, "I don't want to go and play." And he said, "No, just to relax and listen." He said, "You know, just come on along with me." So Tommy did that, and he found this quiet music room there at the school, and he sat down at the piano. And his hands just began to browse over the keys. And in his own words, he said, "Something happened to me then. I felt peace. I felt as though I could reach out and touch God. I found myself playing a melody once into my head that just seemed to fall into place. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home." Tommy said, "The Lord gave me these words and melody. He also healed my spirit. I learned that when we are in our deepest grief, when we feel farthest from God, this is when He's the closest, and when we are most open to His restoring power. And so I go on living for God willingly and joyfully until that day comes when He will take me and gently lead me home." Tommy Dorsey found the precious treasure of God's presence and God's peace. That treasure is offered to us as well, a hidden treasure, a pearl of great price. We may be tired, we may question whether it's worth the effort sometime, but I'm here today to encourage you to take the path that leads to a treasure more beautiful even than the Hermitage waterfalls. It's a treasure that lifts our hearts and refreshes our souls. God can reign in our hearts today if we want Him more than anything else.